Today's episode is all about conscious relationships. One of the most beautiful things I think a person can have as a human being on earth. Also, one of the more challenging things as well. I'm a big fan of this modality, QHHT. It's a type of deep hypnosis developed by a woman named Dolores Cannon. Dolores Cannon basically, over the course of, I'd say, 4 or maybe even 5 decades, has taken people from all over the world by the thousands through this very deep transformative hypnosis technique that allows, take it for what you will, but allows the individual to connect with deeper parts of themselves, their subconscious mind, even what some people call the superconscious mind or the soul, the oversoul, the higher self. And regardless if you buy into all of that, different people from all over the world have been saying the same exact things. And one of the things they said that's very clear and very universal that stood out to Dolores was that the majority of our karma is played out with the people in our life. And that is why having a conscious relationship can be so difficult. All of us want a conscious relationship. All of us want to experience more trust, more authenticity, more flow, more ease, more alignment. And what Patty and I have found is that's possible, but it takes a tremendous amount of work. And it can get a little bit sloppy, a little bit messy if you're not careful. And even if you are careful, it can get very challenging. And sometimes relationships will go through these growth phases where they get worse before there's a new level of deepening. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about in today's episode. Not just with us. You might assume, well, you guys are married. This does not relate to me. Well, we're not going to only talk about ourselves in this case. We're going to also talk about all of our relationships with our friends, our acquaintances, the people we work with, the people we meet on the street sometimes even. All people are, I would say, we've learned to navigate different types of relationships in different ways. And we've learned a lot of very harsh lessons because no one really taught us this. In fact, it was funny. My wife and I sometimes find ourselves complaining about the school system. And some of the things our kids come home learning, we feel is a bit pointless. And I remember asking myself, like, why don't they teach kids? Like, I went on and listed a bunch of things, but one of them would be like relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the listeners here, were you taught about how to have a conscious relationship? Were you taught about how to create trust and harmony with your loved ones and with the people around you? I certainly wasn't. I was given no instructions whatsoever. I had to learn the hard way. I had to learn through reading books and making mistakes. And so, you know, me and Patty, we're not experts, but we have been married for 17 years and we've made a lot of mistakes with other types of relationships. And we feel in that regard, somewhat qualified to share some knowledge and wisdom upon this very important topic, because our relationships, I believe, and I don't think I'm alone here, are the most important thing we have.
Mm.
In fact, so many people who are on their deathbed, you know, when they're asked about, like, when they just talk to the people who are still, you know, kind of waving them off, essentially, it's never mentioned about their finances. They don't talk about their accomplishments. They talk about, I wish I would have lived more fully, and I wish I would have been there more for fill in the blank,
mm-hmm.
my loved ones, my kids, my wife, my friends, myself even. So I think this is a very important topic that deserves discussion. So with that said, welcome to another episode, my friends. My name is Victor, and I'm here with my lovely wife, Patty.
Hello.
Did I already say that? Did I already welcome them? Welcome?
I don't think so.
Good.
We've kind of started over a few times.
Yeah, so. I had to redo this. Sometimes it takes a minute to kind of get in the flow. But anyway, an interesting thing I want to begin with is when I first met my friend, Bridget Nielsen, who's another YouTuber. She told me that for a while she lived in a communal living situation, which I gathered to be 10 or maybe even more people living under the same household. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool, Bridget. That must have been awesome. And she said, she got this like very serious look in her in her eyes. She said, well, in some ways, Vic, it was. But it was also extremely challenging, she said, because you are so enmeshed with everybody's energy, with everybody's issues. If somebody was going through a process, the entire house would feel it. She said you constantly have to be looking in the mirror and checking yourself. Otherwise, it can very quickly spiral into, chaos and quote-unquote shadowboxing amongst the people in the house. And Patty and I can relate with that because we found that. We've discovered that when you bring people into your life and the relationship kind of starts to take on a different trajectory and go towards the direction of a deepening, it usually will pull up one another's shadow side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I feel like because you and I have been together for so long that we've sort of played this out multiple times within ourselves. But I know for sure I've done this with multiple friendships. And, you know, it's kind of an interesting thing when you start to become more self-aware, more aware of your shadows, your tics, your quirks, all your little idiosyncrasies. And then you start to get comfortable with people and those things sort of like come out. But then on the flip side, you also see theirs, and navigating that can be an interesting challenge sometimes, especially, you know, depending on what the dynamic is, right? With friendships, depending on the person, you know, I've been able to be like open and honest and clear and like, okay, sorry, I said that, I've been triggered and blah, 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 and like be open about what's kind of coming up. But then there's been other times where it becomes a little more difficult, like in a work relationship, right?
Absolutely, yes. We talked about this quite a bit. What we've learned is that when you bring somebody in close, it's almost inevitable that you start playing out your like childhood dynamics with that person. And yeah, that's okay. We've been doing it since day one, pretty much, yeah, you and I, since like a week or two in maybe of our relationship. And we've come to kind of accept that. We've come to kind of accept that, you know what, Patty has this shadow side, and it's not always easy to be around, and vice versa, of course, with you and me.
Yeah.
But sometimes it can get tricky when it's not with someone who you want to be playing this out with.
Yeah.
And we've made the mistake, you know, in the last 10 years of bringing people in really close, really quickly, and then being kind of shocked when things took like a wild spiral downward, and all of a sudden you're just like, you become kind of, we would use the word enmeshed, mm-hmm, where you start playing out your dynamics with maybe a coworker, mm-hmm, or maybe an acquaintance, or maybe a fair weather friend, someone who you weren't expecting to get that close with.
Or even too, also, you might not be playing out your dynamics and your childhood traumas and all that with someone, but someone else might be doing that with you. So then you have to deal with that, even though you're not, you know, playing out your shadow,
yep,
with them. So it's like, sometimes it's you and the other person. Sometimes it's just you and not the other person. And sometimes it's just the other person and not you. And trying to navigate that and figure out, okay, is this my shit or is this their shit? Do we need to have a conversation about this, or is this just all me, you know? And it takes a tremendous amount of awareness of what is really underneath the surface, right? Because it's never really about the thing. Like, at least for me, when my shadow comes up, I will get mad at you over something really stupid, but it wasn't ever about the thing I was mad about. It was always something, my feelings were hurt about whatever.
Yeah.
You know? So it takes a tremendous amount of self-awareness and like an ability to assess the situation with discernment, right? And be clear, okay, this is my shit. is this also their shit? And we're, you know, because a lot of times with us in particular, it was usually both of our shit coming up to the surface and our shadows were fighting.
Yeah.
You know, our shadows were at a crossroads, we'll say. But it's not always like that. And in more recent years, if you're triggered, luckily I may not be. But the interesting thing about being really close with people is that sometimes you might not be triggered in the moment, but over time, like with Bridget being in the house, it's like over time, you can't help but be energetically affected by the person you're sharing a house with.
Yep.
Right? And that will ripple if you're not careful and mindful.
Yeah, it takes a tremendous amount of energy and focus to not get sucked into somebody's like drama,
yes,
and shadow, even when you're fully aware, okay, Patty's triggered. I'm going to stay conscious here. And it doesn't always happen because that unconsciousness always wants to kind of validate itself. So it tries to pull in other people.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different examples you gave, I wanted to add to that. You're right. Sometimes you know, sometimes they know, sometimes neither of you know, or sometimes one does it, sometimes the other is doing it, et cetera. But sometimes you're not aware you're doing it.
Yes.
Sometimes they're not aware they're mm-hmm. doing it. And that can be even more challenging.
Yes.
And the truth is, most of us have times when we're not aware we're doing it.
Yeah. And I feel like in the beginning of relationships, like when that piece first starts deepening, you start getting closer, that's when you're not really aware. Because you're not quite prepared for it. You're not like, okay, we've been best friends for like 10 years. This is going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? It's like you're like, you became fast friends and you know, you're very close. And then you start, you know, playing things out and you're like, oh, okay, this is here.
Yeah. Yeah. I've hit that threshold.
Yes.
Now it's on.
Yeah.
And yeah, one of the things I've learned, there's a few things I've learned. One of them is it can be helpful to have like patience and understanding,
mm-hmm.
like, and really just acceptance. Because sometimes when you see somebody's, when they're taken over by their shadow, it's very unattractive. It's very unappealing. It's very easy to judge and say, oh my God, can you believe what they're doing? Mm-hmm. And you can just see the dysfunction in their energy, in their behavior, and it's very, very off-putting, but if that's something you can't tolerate, which is understandable in one sense, you're not going to have any close relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is you probably do that too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like whatever I'm judging and say you, I have my own version of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, but if I can kind of acknowledge that, then that allows me to kind of accept you, like all of you, and also have patience for you as well. But I met a lot of people who don't want to do that with anybody, and therefore they don't, but then they're like alone. They're like, don't have anybody in their life at all because mm-hmm. they're unwilling to kind of play that out with people.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's something to, like, for some people that might be like, okay, this is a boundary. I'm just not going to play that shit out with people, like, period. Like, I'm just not going to do that, okay? And on one hand, that is a good boundary to have, right? And also, there's no learning there.
Yeah.
There's no learning how to navigate that because ultimately, unless you want to be alone and you don't want to have relationships, which some people are content in that, and that's cool. And if that's your path, like, hell yeah. Like, good for you.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that about yourself. Like, that's a beautiful thing. But the reality is most people want some sort of relationship in their life, whether it's friendships, family, or like love relationships, you know? And in order to have that, you have to have a tremendous amount of patience and self-awareness going forward. And an ability to look at yourself from another person's perspective, right? Like I feel like everybody has their truth. And I don't believe that anybody's truth is wrong. But my truth might be different than their truth. and that's okay. So if someone shares something about me and how I'm showing up, the first thing that I like to do is I like to see if I like go back in my head. Okay, say there's a specific scenario, right? And someone's like, well, you did this and it hurt my feelings and you suck because of this, right? I'm going to go, okay, did I do that? Yes or no? Was it intentional? Yes or no? And then if it wasn't, then I have an opportunity for growth.
Yeah. Yeah. It's helpful when there's a small group. What comes to mind is like working together with like running retreats, working mm-hmm. with Aaron. You know, mm-hmm. Aaron's a very close friend of ours. You know, he's pretty much like family. And when it's just like, say, me and you, it's easier for one of us to trick ourselves into thinking, oh, I'm right and she's wrong. Mm. But when you're in a group of people, you get multiple reflections. Mm-hmm. So there'd mm-hmm. be a time, for example, when I'm like, oh, this is what's going on and we got to do this. And you and Aaron are both like, no, I don't know if you're seeing it clearly, Vic. Mm-hmm. And because you're both saying it, it's like I'm much more likely to consider it. It mm-hmm. makes it more obvious that maybe my perspective is not the end all be all. Mm-hmm. So it can be a little bit more helpful in groups. But one thing to kind of add that I want to mention is that this sounds like a lot of work we're discussing, and it is. And what we've also learned is it's okay to not do this with everybody.
Yeah.
We have a lot firmer, like, boundaries, you could say, and more awareness of how close we want to get depending on the type of relationship. Mm-hmm. And what comes to mind is, like, years ago when I first started having a personal assistant, it was like so exciting to me. Oh, we got this, you know, got this person and they're a part of my life and they're helping the business and I liked them. And I'd bring him in. I'd invite him to Christmas dinner. And
yeah, he was over at the house like every day. I was like making like, you know, keto desserts. We were going through a keto dessert phase and I'd be like, hey, can you test this out? And like, oh, yeah. Do you have lunch? And, you know, like, it was like he kind of came in as an assistant, but became sort of part of the family in a very fast way that was not necessarily appropriate.
Yeah.
You know?
And then they started playing out their stuff with me. You mm-hmm. know, I became like the father figure and it got real messy real quick. And that was not a dynamic I was willing to have with like an assistant, someone working for me, but it wasn't their fault. Right. I brought them in. Mm-hmm. It was literally something I created. And I did that a couple of times, you know, mm-hmm. even after that. And I had to realize, oh, wow, I can't just act impulsively with these relationships because it can feel so good. I have to be very mindful of like, and aware, like there's a deepening with that will occur if you continue to bring people very close to you. So
mm-hmm.
try to keep kind of a healthy balance, I would say, depending on the person. We had a coach named Doug, and he would call it he said, I think I have my fishing buddies. I have people I go fishing with once in a while, and we talk about football, and we fish, and we drink a couple of beers, and it's fantastic. But that's it. I'm not sharing my deepest, darkest fears and goals and dreams with them, and they're not doing it for me. And that allows it to kind of stay pleasant and light, mm-hmm. not deep. Not like a soulful relationship, mm-hmm. but pleasant and light. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. And he knows that, you know what? To be mindful of the type of people he chooses to go deeper with. And mm-hmm. that's kind of what we learned, that discernment. Mm-hmm. Is this something that's appropriate and something I'm wanting to kind of go deep with? Because mm-hmm. if we choose to do that, all the stuff we said before will come along with it. And that's okay if both parties are kind of up for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. And I think it is, the more relationships that you have, the more you learn, you know, of the type of person that you want in your life, right? Like when we first kind of started making friends after we had moved from Michigan and all that, it was kind of like, I just want friends, right? I just want to like hang out with people. But then as I started like making friends, then I realized like, oh, actually I want a deeper level of friendship, you know? And then it was like, okay, then my circle got a little smaller, right? But the relationships that I had had much more depth and openness and honesty, and it was a lot more beautiful. And even still, I learned after getting too close with people that I don't really like to play out my trauma with other people. I'll do it with you, but I don't like to do it with other people typically. And that's something that I learned, so that I have the awareness now that I have to be very aware of myself and what is being brought up within me, so I can be present and conscious in the friendship and not have those sort of learning moments, right?
Yeah. And they're difficult learning moments.
Mm-hmm.
And this, I would say, has accelerated for us since we've been in like a position of like leadership and doing like deep work, like mm-hmm. running ayahuasca retreats, for example. It accelerates this process to like an almost ridiculous degree, to where there have been so many comings and goings and challenges and growth and beauty and everything in between.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot where I was going with that.
Well, it's something that we've had to navigate a lot of, especially in the last, like, say, 7 years, right? Or more.
Yeah. What I was going to say is you called like a learning lesson, and it is, but there have been maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 like awesome relationships that I've had that unfortunately I don't have anymore because mm-hmm. I didn't know this stuff. Both parties for the most part made mistakes mm-hmm. and things happened. And sometimes when there's too much shadow and you're not able to handle it within you, them, or both, it can kind of like burn bridges, unfortunately. And there have been people that I like miss. I miss I having know, in my same. Life, but I don't know if it's in the cards, basically, to reunite. It's hard to say. It's also sometimes you just go on different paths as well. It's mm-hmm. not even always about one grew and one didn't. Sometimes you just are meant to go in different paths. But if I would have known what I know now, I would have certainly handled, you know, a few of those relationships a lot differently. And I think I could have possibly avoided maybe a messy ending.
Right. But you know what, though? Like, I mean, I've had quite a few of those, you know, messy sort of endings, but every single one that I've had, I've added another tool to my toolbox, right? Like, I've gained a lot more understanding of myself and how to navigate friendships, relationships, you know, just even conversations, like how do I navigate a conversation? Like, I didn't really know. I just kind of, as a kid, I just kind of like, bloop, this is what I think, bloop, you know, but you have to have a filter in some ways. And it's not natural for me to have a filter, which I've learned, but I've had to learn over time how to be able to speak in a way that isn't sharp or hurtful. And all of these little big learnings, right? Challenges, messy endings have all taught me so much about myself and how to navigate certain things and how to speak in a way that isn't hurtful. And so, I mean, I feel like it's kind of, I don't want to say it's a good thing, but it kind of is, right? Like, as hard as it is to let go of friendships and just accept like, okay, this is just, it's not in the cards for our friendship anymore or relationship anymore. And that's okay. And maybe we'll reunite in the future, but I'm not going to hold my breath for that. But now I know, okay, moving forward, how can I do things differently to be a better friend?
Yeah, absolutely. And I, of course, I can't validate this, but I have a suspicion that all of these, if anyone relates to these types of circumstances, I have a suspicion that they were kind of destined and meant to be.
Yeah.
And I think Dolores is spot on. I think we play out our karma and therefore learn these soul deep lessons that are very impactful and very helpful. through sometimes even a failed relationship, as you said. You mm-hmm. can learn a lot so that when you meet your next friend or your next lover, your next coworker, you can do it differently next time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's such a beautiful opportunity about just being more conscious in relationships, you know, to have the opportunity to grow while also developing deeper, more meaningful, and connected relationships.
Yeah. So what I want to do now is just share a couple of things that I've learned from books, basically, that have helped. One of them is to like discover your attachment style. If you mm-hmm. haven't read the book, what I think it's called Attached, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Super, super helpful. Because apparently, according to this sort of branch of psychology, that people have a couple of different, well, three different attachment styles. One of them is very rare. One of them is anxious attachment. That is like me. Someone who, if there's unresolved or tension, I can't rest until it's resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the exact opposite, the avoidant.
Which is me.
Which is Patty. How nice. Where she's the exact opposite. If there's tension, what she wants to do is create some space and some distance so she can kind of gain her bearings. Sometimes there's a shadow side where there's like an avoiding of it. And there's a shadow side with the anxious where it's like being oblivious to the timing and just insisting we're going to resolve this right this second.
Right.
Even though clearly we're both activated and it's not going to go well.
Mm-hmm.
But I need it to get resolved. So we're going to do it now. So both have kind of this, their pros and cons essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the, healthy attachment, mm-hmm. which is someone who's a good balance. Those are hard to come by. And that's the goal of everybody.
Yeah.
I
feel like over the years, I'm moving. I'm not there yet. But I feel like I'm moving in a good direction in that way, just having self-awareness, more self-awareness and like,
yes.
you know, and I, with you as well. And so, but yeah, I would say that that is extremely helpful to know your attachment style.
Both for knowing yourself and also for accepting other people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's kind of a recipe for disaster if you think about it. If one person wants to resolve something now and the other person's running away, it's just what I do is I bring on all this pressure mm-hmm. and you feel pressured and maybe even irritated that I'm like
yeah.
being overbearing. And then I feel like even more anxious because you're running the other way.
Right.
So it perpetuates one another. And what I found is it's extremely helpful to know your own style and mm-hmm. being able to admit that. It's not a very flattering thing what I'm saying here, but it's true.
Yeah.
Same for you.
Yeah.
You know, but if I can own that, I can catch myself. Okay, Victor, I know you really want to resolve this now, but the timing isn't ideal.
Yeah.
Even though it's uncomfortable and you might not know what to do with all that energy, it's smartest for both parties for you to sit with it a little longer and let Patty kind of come around. And for me to also accept you, okay, when Patty kind of creates space, it's not that she doesn't love me. It's not that she doesn't care. It's that this is just her process. And now I'm aware of that. I can accept it and not take it personally. And
yeah.
when I bother you with my, you know, let's do it now, honey, then you can be like, okay. And you can kind of accept that as well.
Yeah. I always think of this story when we were still living in Michigan. And we were starting to like have more self-awareness, but we were still really like not that aware, right?
Yep.
And you were like, we were fighting about something. I don't even know what we were fighting about. And you were like following me around the house. Like I literally was like going, I went upstairs. You followed me upstairs. I went in the bathroom. I locked the door and I just sat on the toilet like with the lid down. And I was just like, what do I do here? What do I do here? Like, I'm about to say
I'm
some really
notes under the door.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
No, no. but you were like, come, you got to come out and talk to me. And then I realized like, okay. And I was like, okay. So I came out and I said, you need to give me some time because if you do not give me the time that I need, I'm going to say some really mean shit to you that I don't really mean, but I mean in the moment because I'm mad, right? And you kind of looked at me like, okay, like you understood. And then you said, how much time do you need? And I was just
How's 3 minutes sound?
I was like, I don't know, like 10 minutes maybe, even though I felt like I really needed longer, but I knew you needed like, you know. And after that, after I said that, then things shifted. It was like I didn't know anything about attachment style, but I was becoming more aware of myself and like, you don't want to flip out on him, but you kind of do. And if he keeps egging you on and not giving you time to cool off, you're going to flip out on him. And it was like that moment of like, what do I need to not do the thing that is coming to the surface and about to happen, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's good to be aware and then to kind of own it and do your best with it.
Yeah.
You know, and just so you guys know, this is not just something you do with like your intimate partners. Friends, me and Aaron do this. I'm anxious. He's avoidant
like
and
me.
We have to have the same sort of mindfulness as we're discussing here. Mm-hmm. You know, if there's like me and Aaron also work together in business. So sometimes there's something that's unresolved and I want to fix it right then and there. And I've learned if I like send Aaron like this emotive voice note, like, hey bro, we got to deal with this. I won't hear from him for a couple of days because he like does not like that energy.
Yeah.
And I've had to accept that as well. If Aaron's kind of working through something and like I don't hear from him for a few days, I don't take it personally. I know this is just his process and it's okay. And when he's ready, he'll come back.
Mm-hmm.
And you learn to kind of accept one another and also yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're all willing to do your best, then you can really get to the good stuff that relationships have to offer. When you can learn to kind of like tame these powerful forces. Like that anxious attachment is a very powerful force with you. That desire to maybe for you and Aaron to run when things get tough, that might be very strong. And it's not easy to tame these forces and to accept the opposing forces in other people. But if you can like do your best and at least make improvements, that's where you have like lifelong friendships, lifelong marriages, you know, beautiful, deep relationships, people in your life that you just know you can count on and are truly there for you. It doesn't come easily, but it's possible. But I think it takes awareness and maybe even a bit of education at times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, no one can do better than their best. And sometimes our best is 100% and sometimes our best is negative 50, you know. And if we are looking at each other like, okay, we're all just doing our best here, then that also can give you a little bit of compassion. And when you give your partner or your friends compassion, then that sort of gives them permission to also have compassion for you, because sometimes they might be at zero and you're at 100 and vice versa. And, you know, having that understanding of like, all right, we're all just doing our best here and, you know, own your shit when the time comes and say, okay, I was wrong or I need a moment. Or whatever it is, and you know, apologize if need be, and own your shit, and there's no shame in that.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, there's the attachment. Another thing I want to bring up, it comes from Jungian psychology, and it's the idea of projection. Now, most people they think of projection as projecting the shadow. Like, for example, if we were discussing earlier, one time I said, hey, I'm going to go to Aaron's to watch the fights tonight. And then you got extremely upset at me because it triggered something in you.
Mm-hmm.
That was like a projection of your shadow. It wasn't about the fact that I was going to watch the fights. And I've done the same thing to you countless times, obviously.
Yeah.
That's projecting the shadow.
I've done it so many times, I don't even know what you're referring to.
Like in that moment, it may have triggered your abandonment wound or something very deep that had nothing to do with like the surface level circumstance.
Yeah.
But also with projection, this is something that I don't hear talked about very much, is many times, and all of us do this, by the way, we'll project our light, or what Carl Jung calls the gold, will sometimes, for example, like almost idolize someone and we will see parts of ourselves that we aren't aware of in them, and that can cause like an attachment. Mm-hmm. That happens a lot with like, especially when you become like a leader. Sometimes people see something in you, a quality that they also have, but they think you're the source of it. Mm. And then it can create this like attachment and kind of like a needy, almost like a needy energy
and
of
expectation
of wanting to be around you, wanting to get a certain thing from you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like called projecting our gold. All of us do it. We're not above it. Mm-hmm. We're not just saying people do it to us and we're fine. I played this out with one of the shamans we used to work with, and I even told him about it, and he didn't like it. It made him very uncomfortable when I told him.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? The reason I get so weird around you is because it's like a father. He became like a father, like a, the father, is like a father figure projection on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it like made him uncomfortable. And I understand, because when people do it to me, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But once again, it's an opportunity for acceptance. It's an opportunity for patience, opportunity for humility. Because whatever you're annoyed with or bothered by or triggered by, you give it time. If not right happening right now, you're going to do the same thing to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
It goes round and round and round. But the cool thing is, with a conscious relationship, if you can hang in there and work through it and have the right people and look at yourself, you can become aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
Like with the shaman figure, the way it played out for a while is, the first like several times I was around him, I got really quiet and kind of weird, because I knew I was wanting his approval, wanting him to like me. And I had all these yearnings of like a childhood little boy that were being brought about by him. And then eventually I mentioned it to him, and maybe that was not the ideal thing. And then that created a little bit of awkwardness, but eventually I was able to work through that. And I was able to sort of reclaim my gold and stop idolizing him in that regard. And then we became like equals in different ways. Not mm-hmm. that I'm a shaman, but we became like able to hang out, and we got along very well because I kind of integrated that part of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know what? I'll do it again to somebody else. It's something that just keeps going on and on. And we oscillate from periods of self-awareness and projection. And that is kind of how we learn and grow.
Mm-hmm. I also think that the projections of the gold is an opportunity for us to really get to witness ourselves, you know, like we're projecting our gold onto someone, like somebody has something that I don't have. But if you're seeing it in someone else, it's in you.
Yes.
Which is the gold, and also the whatever, the other stuff too. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So it's like all these are opportunities to look at ourselves and go, okay, I'm seeing this in this person. That must be in me. Where do I still hold that?
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And just, I think just the awareness of these two basic concepts is really game changing.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you kind of a framework to navigate relationships. Just the awareness of your attachment styles, the awareness of to what degree, if any, are you projecting, are they projecting, how to navigate that.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that everyone does it, so there's no room for pointing fingers here.
Mm-hmm.
There is no higher or lower. It's just we're all doing our best. It's mm-hmm. not easy. Mm-hmm. Even with this awareness, it's still not easy for us.
Yeah.
But over the last 20 years of living this way and learning and growing, you know, we've gotten to a point where we make way, way fewer mistakes. We have fewer messy endings, you might say. And we're able to experience kind of like the higher octaves of relationships in all of our different types of relationships, both close and sort of distance ones, because of all of this. So that mm-hmm. Today was our objective, was to kind of share what we've learned. And there's more, but for today, I'd say it's fine. But to kind of share what we've learned, hoping that you can also experience a sort of evolution of your own relationships based on at least some of the stuff we shared.
Yeah.
Cool. So I think that's it, my friends. Anything else, babe, before we go?
I was going to say something, but I forgot and I can't think of it now, and I don't want to like keep trying to reach for it in my brain.
Yeah. Right on.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, listen, my friends, this, what is it, May 4th? Do you know the date you're doing the breath work?
I didn't put it in my calendar, but I think that sounds right. It's either the third or the second. It's the second, May 2nd.
May 2nd, Patty's going to be taking a group through a powerful somatic breathwork ceremony that's very different than the ones you may have experienced with me. She has her own spin on it, and I went through it last week, and it's amazing. And this is something we do free every month, various types of ceremonies. The upcoming one is Patty leading breathwork, but we do other stuff as well. QHHT we did last time, and it was awesome. So if you want to be a part of this, I'll leave a link in the description of whether you're watching or listening in Spotify or iTunes. You can click it. All you have to do is enter your email, and we'll send you the Zoom link and the dates, and you'll be on our list for the next time. You know, whenever we do it, you'll be notified if it's something you want to participate in. Again, it's 100% free, very powerful. And we'd love for you to be a part of it if you feel called. So with that said, have an amazing day. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.